This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
We're going to continue on here on this theme of access and appropriate first access. This project is a project of we did at the VA hospital in our San Francisco VA, where some of the frustrations that Dr. Locke was explaining was felt by the vascular access surgeons, mainly me, because the patients that would come, and this is probably your experience too, and it seems as if they're not prepared. Now, they are prepared, or they've been shown the video, and they've been talked to about different types of access, but yet you get them and you ask them, well, you know, this is your fistula, you know, this is the chances of it working, and they look at you as if you got, you know, like, what are you talking about? So we wanted to start a project that would help educate the patients, save the vein, and also try to develop a model to predict the rate of progression, and so we could make a better informed decision when they should be referred to the vascular access surgeon. That was all. Just those three things. Very simple. It turned out to be kind of a huge project. But the clinical issue is this. Patients referred too late to the vascular access surgeons and are not knowledgeable about AV fistulas and their complications. This is a perceived, you know, end user, end of the food chain perception. The consequence is, as we just heard, the initiation of dialysis 80% on a catheter. The white snake, as we just heard. Time in clinic to explain pros and cons of hemodialysis vascular access, we just thought we would address this with the patient network in Vision 21. So it has six medical centers. We have 400,000 veterans, 2.5 million primary care visits annually, and 32,000 patients with CKD 3 and 5. VA hospitals are a great place to study this problem. Most of them get their surgery. They may not get dialysis within the VA system, but they at least get their surgery in the VA system. The VA is also great because it captures the data. And this is a business intelligence report, dashboards, database, and data processing center. But it all really starts with the clinician and the patient. And it goes both ways into our electronic medical record system, which we call CPRS. But every night, every single night, Vista, which is the main operating system, CPRS is just the interface, at 7 p.m. it downloads all the data that we put in that day. So every day it's updated at 7 p.m. It's really quite unique of any system that I know of. So these are our goals, pre-dialysis education. And that's a whole other talk, and I'm not going to mention too much about that. Identify the key metrics to decrease CKD progression. Others have done this, Tangri, and et cetera. But we wanted to see if the veterans were unique in that sense. And then save the vein. And save the vein was as simple as just putting a bracelet on and say, no IVs in this arm. Dr. Rapp, Joe, he had a great picture of a patient that they're willing in for him to create his brachial cephalic fistula and the IV sitting right here. And, you know, that's just a lack of communication, a lack of awareness. So this is where we started, and this is kind of a bad slide, but if you look, you'll see a bunch of dates along the x-axis, so to speak, and you see all we're looking for is patients who've had their blood pressure checked and are within guidelines on these dates, and we were shooting for 95% blood pressure creatinine checked every 3 to 6 months and once every year. So that's all we were wanting to get, 95% of these patients who had CKD4, and you can see that we got to about 80%, and we just couldn't, even with education, notes, and whatever, we just couldn't get quite up there. And that would be the most fundamental thing that you would think that these patients would receive is a creatinine check. They could have been getting it in the outside, but we had some systems where we can do programming and find out that actually it was this captured all the patients. So what we did was we looked at our Vision 21 patients in a time frame between, this was 2000 and 2007, so we went back in time, and they had to have three EGFRs. So we didn't want the acute people who were coming down. We wanted stable EGFRs between 25 and 35. They had to be within 8 months of each other, and they all had to be within that range. If they were, they could be in this in this study. What we found is we had 2,445 patients with 359 progressing on into end-stage renal disease and 1,079 into death. Of these end-stage renal disease patients, 230 experienced end-stage renal disease alone, and then the breakdown of the patients who died, 950 developed end-stage renal disease before they died, or 129 developed end-stage renal disease and death, and the 950 just death. So one thing you first see is death way outweighs end-stage renal disease in this population of CKD4 patients who had an EGFR between 25 and 35. By the way, the mean of our cohort was exactly 30. So we selected out people who we wanted. So the other thing we said was, let's look at the guidelines. And these are nine metrics that pretty, you know, pretty rudimentary. You'd think these would be checked frequently. Nephrology visit, calcium, vitamin D, et cetera. So we looked at these key metrics, and we just said, let's just see if we can get six of them. And our score, when we looked at all our patients, 2,000 patients, 53% had just six of them. So it was kind of, that was sort of our minimum bar. That was kind of our lowest common denominator. If we achieved this, we still weren't doing that great, but we were at least in the ballpark. So our first conclusion is communication and collaboration regarding vascular access referral timing is lacking. Things you can't control is nephrology referral timing, peripheral IVs in the arm, laboratory monitoring, medication appropriateness, lifestyle, nutrition. So when we look at the rate of death and we graph it on a Kaplan-Meier curve, this is what the curve looks like. It's pretty steep. At 4 years, about over half of them are dead. That's where colorectal cancer is about. If you look at if you break out both death and progression to end-stage renal disease, it looks like this. This curve's much flatter. Only about 13% of the patients who came into this study with CKD4 ended up on dialysis at within 4 years. Overall, the vast majority of them died. So when we look at, well, what explains this? How can we start to model this? How can we select out who's going to die, who's going to progress to renal disease, to dialysis, and would need a fistula? It wouldn't make any sense to put a fistula in all these patients, but we need to have some information. So this is univariate and multivariate analysis. I'm not going to go through this too much, but I'll go through this right here, which is the breakdown of the significant values for progression to end-stage renal disease, not death. So race, African-American race, about twice as much. 2.1 is the hazard ratio. Hemoglobin A1C, almost significant. Diabetes, albumin, low albumin, that's another one that's really quite significant with a hazard ratio of 0.38, meaning there's a reverse relationship. Phosphate and acute events. So these are the things that actually predict who's going to progress. And what you immediately notice is that there's some of them that are modifiable. Now, whether modifying the albumin or changing one of these things would actually slow the progression, we don't know. But it is interesting. One thing that's not modifiable is race. And you can see the EGFR decline is 2.31 per year in the non-blacks, but 3.96 in the blacks. Why is that? We don't really have a good idea, but that's the way it is in the VA hospital. So a lot of data here, and a lot to go through, but basically our conclusions were veteran patients are not referred to nephrology specialist care in a timely fashion. So it's not just that they're not coming to us, they're not coming to the nephrologist. They're not getting the expert care that they need. The competing risk of death, 44%, disproportionately exceeds the risk of reaching end-stage renal disease of 14%. Most patients will not benefit from KDOQI recommendations, RRT, education to CKD4. There are important and potentially modifiable risk factors for CKD progression. Again, I don't know. That study needs to be done. More data needs to be analyzed and determine the increased progression of black patients. And nationwide VA data is now being used to test and validate what we call a scorecard and try to increase its discriminatory ability to pick out who's going to go ahead on to dialysis, who would die, who's at risk for who needs a fistula, that type of thing. So it's a start, and we're looking at it, and stay tuned. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.